Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Let's just pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your love, for your goodness to us. And Lord, right now at the very beginning, we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. Thank you, Lord, because you always do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. And Lord, we just give you praise. We love you, Jesus, and we honor you now. Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, thank you, Andrea, for calling me a stand-up comedian. Actually, that's the second time that's happened to me. The last people that called me a stand-up comedian was the Inland Revenue. Was? It's true, I'd forgotten all about it till Andrea said it. It was the Inland Revenue. And what happened was we became full-time Christian workers. I don't know whether it happened. It feels like everything that's happened to us has been almost by accident, but it's not. We sort of stumbled into things without realizing it had happened till it had happened. And then you say to God, how on earth did I get here? But we did. And we had to get an accountant because when the money did start to break after years of just enough, we needed an accountant because I thought, well, I'll pay tax. So I went to an accountant and he sent a letter off to the Inland Revenue. These guys have said they're full-time Christian workers and I haven't got a clue what to do with them. So he wrote to the Inland Revenue and says, what do you want to do? And they didn't know what to do either. They got no category for us in their systems whatsoever. And so they sent a letter back to say, well, we can only categorize them as professional comedians. So if anybody, that's what, in the Inland Revenue, they actually categorize full-time Christian workers as professional comedians. It's true. Because they haven't got a clue what to do with you. And it was amazing. They said, well, we don't know how to work their expenses out. So he says, we'll give them 90% tax relief on their fuel. Because they think, well, they're bound to travel around a lot. We didn't. We were stuck in Wales building a church. And it was like, God just takes over every time. So I've forgotten all about that. So thank you very much. Okay. Last night we looked at a few things to do with God blessing us and looking after us and caring for us. But this morning I wanted to keep it quite specific and to look at the power of consistency in tithes on offerings. Because at the very heart of all that we've been living in, and we've worked with quite a lot of people over the years in Liverpool and Wales to stand with people and families to come into financial freedom and breakthrough. You know, you don't go for this for money. You go for it for Jesus. But let's be honest, we need money. It's a tool that's needed for our lives and it's needed for the church. But it's not the focus. The focus is always Jesus. But sometimes you have to be practical. And one of the things the Lord said to me is, he said, it's not just people, no good just preaching and telling people what they need to do. You need to preach and show people how to do it. Can you see the difference? And it's sometimes we can know what we need to do, but we don't know how to do it. And we need a dynamic from the Lord to know not just what to do, but how to practically put these things into practice so that the power can be released. Okay? So go with me, please, to Malachi chapter 3. And I just want to read the verses concerning tithing in Malachi chapter 3. You probably know it very well, but I'll read it to you again. Then we're going to share a few things about the power of consistency in tithes and offerings. Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 to 12. It says, for I am the Lord, and I do not change. That's good news. It really is. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts, and all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. What blessings. Now then, the first thing I want to say about all this is that tithes and offerings is about much more than money. It involves money, but it's about so much more, excuse me, than money. You know, and at the heart of this whole lifestyle, this flow of God's blessing, right at the heart all the time has been consistency in tithes and offerings. And that's a key word for everybody to get a hold of. It's consistency. The power and the breakthrough comes where there's consistency. One of the things we've had to teach a lot of people over the years is to bring their tithes into place. Okay, in their finances, and then to build consistency in so that the breakthroughs can come and then there can be a flow. Do you see what I mean? Because all the time, like I said last night, what you're looking for is a supernatural flow of God's blessing, not just a one-off blessing, but a flow of it. And my testimony is the flow is brilliant. But one of the things we have seen when people don't quite get a hold of it and they start tithing and then they stop, then they start and then they stop. It's a bit like opening and closing the window. If you think about it, it's a bit like just opening and closing the window. So God wants to bless. But if you like, the responsibility to see those windows open is actually our choices. It's in our hands. God, because we work in relationship with God. It's not all one way. You know, one of the things we teach is if any relationship is just one way all the time, it can die out. It's got to be two-way. It's receiving and giving, receiving and giving and giving. It's a flow of relationship. Can you see where I'm coming from? And we saw a lot of people who didn't quite get it. They'd start to break through, then they'd stop. And what happened is very often their discipline with spending wasn't quite how it should be. So they'd overspend and go into debt, especially with the ease of credit cards. And then because they'd gone into debt, they had to rob God to pay off the debt. So instead of getting all the blessings of tithing, they got the negative side of robbing God, and so it was just a mess. But, you know, God's gracious, you just come back again, you repent, and you start again. But if you quit, you'll learn the lesson. Yeah. I always teach the church, I don't mind fighting battles, but I don't like fighting them twice. If I've got to fight a battle, let's get it done, and let's get it done properly, but I don't want to fight it twice. If I have to fight one once, that's fine. If I've got to fight it twice, that's a little bit daft, if you see what I'm trying to say. Okay, and it's the same with tithes and offerings. Once you get it sorted, keep the consistency in, because the flow increases. Because there's no end to God, is there? It's just amazing. Okay, now, as I said, tithes and offerings is about much more than money. And I'm going to come back to Malachi 3 in a moment and break that down a little bit. But it's about all sorts of other things. It's about obedience. You know, one of the things we need in our lives is an obedience to God's word. An obedience to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Okay, tithes and offerings is about obedience. Because God asks us for the tithes and the offerings. Another thing that tithes and offerings is about gratitude. Sometimes sometimes I don't think gratitude's often preached enough. Because one of the things we need in our hearts is a heart of gratitude for Jesus. And we've got a saying in Wales, it's actually Pastor Derek that preaches that. He says, an attitude of gratitude takes you to a higher spiritual altitude. And he likes coming out with little twee phrases like that, and we all remember them. But it does, when you've got gratitude, and you start building it in your heart. Like when we're worshipping, you're worshipping with a heart of gratitude to Jesus. And it takes you higher. But gratitude has to be built in. And it's a lesson sometimes that has to be learnt. I don't know whether you've had to, but I certainly did. Especially when we didn't have any money. Okay, one of the way God taught us, I don't know if he teaches you the same, but he teaches us in sometimes quite unusual ways. And he taught us gratitude concerning tea bags. Not in the word, it's just an experience. Okay. And what happened was we had nothing. We'd come from a business that was prospering. We went right down to nothing. And as I said last night, I kept asking, I said, am I in a third world country? Am I still in the UK? I can't afford anything. It was really tough. And we used to have to go shopping to Tesco's. Sorry, not Tesco's, Quick Saves, which is no longer in existence. Praise God. We used to have to buy the cheap stuff in the supermarket. And we didn't do bad with most of it. I mean, the beans weren't very good. You got a tin of juice and six beans and that, didn't you? You did! You share a slice of toast, loads of juice and three beans each. And things like that. But the one thing that we really struggled with was no-frills tea bags. Did you remember that? Anybody remember the old no-frills? Yeah, see, there's a lady there. See, you know it, don't you? And they were awful. I mean, they were awful. And we used to moan a bit, didn't we, really? We could cope with the beans, we could cope with the cheap bread, but the no-frills tea bags, we were brought up on tea, we're in the building trade. And if you're in the building trade people like tea. You know, I mean, I was a builder and I was a painter with my family, and my dad, if the person's house you were painting hadn't brought tea in the hour, you'd start to sing, "I like a nice cup of tea in the morning," until they got the message. Builders grow up on tea. And we grew up on tea. And we did not like the no-frills tea bags. And it was just one of those things. And Hazel did not like them. And one day the Holy Spirit said to us, "Start praising me for the no-frills tea bags." And I know you're laughing at it, but it was really hard. It was hard. Hazel found it hard. When she was going around the shop, you were in the supermarket, putting the things, "I praise you, Lord, for the no-frills beans. And I praise you, Lord." And that's what we were doing. But, you know, it sounds funny, but something broke. It's a simple thing, and we sometimes think we've got to do something super spiritual and super dynamic to get a breakthrough. Well, we broke through praising God for tea bags. It's so easy for everybody, it's for everyone. You know, sometimes people think, like, to do what I'm doing, you've got to have a theology degree, and I've got no problems with people having a theology degree and loads of qualifications. I haven't even got an O-level. I've got nothing. I said to the Lord when he sent me out to preach, and I used to mix with pastors, and they've been do all these, and I just grew up on a building site. That's where I grew up. And God releases into being a pastor, and I says, "Well, Lord, have I got to preach? You better not give me too many big words, because I don't know what they mean." And at one time, I tried to sew a few in to sort of look good in the old days. Now I'll just be myself. What you see is what you get. And Hazel's very good at crosswords and things like that. She says, "Terry, you're using the right words, but you're using them in the wrong context." So I was saying everything in the wrong context. I thought I looked really cool. I was really pleased until she told me, "You're using these big words, but you're not in the right way." And everybody else was too polite to tell me. I thought, "Oh, blow it, you just gotta be yourself." You know, and that's what it is. You just gotta be yourself. Well, in this, you just gotta be yourself. You know, people worry too much about being humble, don't they? Don't they? Am I being humble? Am I being proud? Have you gone through that? Am I being too proud? Do you know what it means to be humble? It means to be yourself. When you try to be like somebody else, that's when you're proud. Because the root word for being humble is like earthy, and in the earth it means just to be yourself. But the minute you're yourself, you can be free. Because God's blessing you, and it's your blessing. He's giving the good works that you can do. Nobody else can do them. So you may as well just enjoy it. But you might as well, mightn't you? There's no point living worrying about what people think, because you're never going to please everybody, are you? So you may as well just enjoy it, you see. And to be humble is to be yourself. But the minute we try to preach like somebody else, pray like somebody else, declare like somebody else, read the Bible like somebody else, you're going proud. And then you've got to deal with pride, and God resists the proud. So he resists everybody that doesn't be themselves, but he gives grace to those that just be themselves in Jesus. And it works. It takes all the pressure off in every way, okay? But gratitude's a massive key. I think, see, it's about more than money. Money is involved, but it's about so much, it's about being free. Okay. Another thing it's about is responsibility. Okay. Part of the tithes and offerings is about responsibility. We are all responsible for God's church. It is not for the pastors and the leaders. It's for every single person that God sets in the body. Are you with me? And God's perspective of looking at the body isn't even like our perspective. We sometimes, and I'm going to be careful saying this because Judith's one of my best friends, but you know, sometimes we put pastors on a pedestal and they do need honour. We honour the leaders. But you know, when you study the body, the Bible says that in the body, there are the presentable parts that are worthy of honour. Is that not true? But the unpresentable parts, they're worthy of double honour. Is that not true? See, God brings balance. Okay, so I came yesterday to look around the building. There was people here cleaning. There was people here doing things. To my mind, they're members of the body taking up their responsibility. From God's perspective, double honour. Okay, people. I would imagine there was people here before I got here with Pastor Judith this morning, setting things up, practicing. From God's perspective, double honour. See, he honours everybody. We honour the leaders, we honour the pastors, we honour the ministries, but we don't forget that that's not all there is. It's a body. Are you with me? It's a body. Okay. So it's about responsibility. We're all responsible. We're responsible to bring our tithes and our offerings and all these other things. Now, I'll open it up a little bit more later. But we are responsible. Tithes and offerings is about responsibility. Giving our tithes and offerings is about the heart. The Bible says that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. There are two main treasures. There's other things. You know, I could add a few more on my list, like fishing and that kind of thing. But basically, there are two main treasures, time and money. If you think about it, in today's society, time is a treasure, money is another one. When God's got somebody's heart and they start putting their time and their money into the church, God knows that he's got them and he can use them. But if their money's not there and their time's not there, you know, it's like when there's a special meeting on. Now, I know that very often we do it say it in our church. A lot of people work and they can't always get. But some people, we know in our church, probably same here, I don't know. Some people just can't bother to come. You get it. Well, you haven't got the heart yet. And so God can't use them. They're on the fringes. But you don't need to stay on the fringes. The fringes is where you get some splashes of the blessing. But in the middle, you get soaked. It's where God wants us to be. He wants us all to just soak up the blessing. Are you with me? So it's about the heart. Tithes and offerings is about worship. You know, I love that. I love when any song, one of the things that when people start singing about Jesus is worthy. I don't know, I'm only 5'5" and I've thought it a few times. Lord, I wish I was 6'6" when I want to lift my hands. I wish I could just reach that bit higher to give Jesus the worship. You know, tithes and offerings is about worship. And when we give our money, I says, Lord, this is my worship for you. Are you with me? It's more to it than just putting money in a basket. Another thing about tithes and offerings is it's about belonging. You know, a lot of people in society need to know find somewhere to belong. And you give into where you belong. If you think about it, it's true. And what it does, when we give our tithes and offerings, something happens in our spirit and God builds belonging in. And that brings security. There's such a knock-on effect. It brings security. It's where we belong. We give to where we belong. Our time and our money, our treasure, it goes where we belong. And it builds belonging into our lives. And it's, you know, so many people don't know where they belong. But just through tithes and offerings, God builds that belonging. And it does not bring security. Okay? Another thing about tithes and offerings is it's about faith. We don't just put it in and forget about it. We give in faith. In fact, when people come to our church, I say, if you haven't got the faith, don't give it. You need to understand it, and you need to have the faith first, because everything that's not of faith is sin. And we want a faith offering, not a sin offering. If you think about it, it's true. And we teach faith. You give in faith. We preach what the blessings are, what to expect from the blessings, what God says to expect, and then we encourage people to give in faith. Are you with me? Not just without knowing what they're doing. And another thing, just another one, is about honour. You know, I believe when I give my tithes and offerings, I'm honouring God. I just feel like I'm honouring God. Through giving tithes and offerings. So it's about so much more than just giving money. Now then, tithes and offerings is nothing to do with legalism. That's a load of rubbish, if I can say that on tape or on CD. It's a load of rubbish. It's not true. I had to go right back to the beginning when we had nothing to find out God's way to, prosper, yes, but just to survive at that moment in time. And when I studied it, I thought, it's nothing to do with the Lord. It came in way before Moses. And I just want to, I'm coming to Malachi soon. I want to throw a few scriptures out to you just to show you right the way through the scriptures how tithes and offerings is not legalism. It's not being under the law. It's all to do with relationship. Okay? In Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, you read about Abraham and Melchizedek. Okay, now Melchizedek is a type of Jesus, a type of Christ in the Old Testament. And Abraham had gone to rescue Lot. Okay, he'd gone and Lot had been kidnapped. He'd gone and rescued Lot, taken the soldiers from his, or the fighting men from his own household. And he'd rescued Lot, and as well as rescuing Lot, he'd plundered the enemy as well. And that's how it should be. The enemy is there to be bruised, trampled, trodden on and plundered. Okay? And, okay, the enemy dared to touch Abraham's nephew. I think it was his nephew. So he says, right, well, I'm going to plunder you. And the Bible says, we've learned this scripture a long time ago, the thief, when he is caught, must pay sevenfold, though it cost him his whole house. Okay, there's a certain scriptures where you can get double, and then there's certain scriptures where you can get fivefold, but I thought we've got sevenfold. I thought, well, I'm not going back to five when I found a scripture that says I can get seven. So if the devil steals a pound, you can claim seven back off him. If he steals £1,000, you claim £7,000 back off him. And you can stand in faith and make him pay. And what I've discovered, okay, he still tries it on, because, you know, like Reinhard Bonnke says, when Jesus bruised his head, it got a bit of brain damage. And he tried it on, okay? So he tries it on again, even though you've just given him a great big thrashing, he tries it on again. But you make him pay. And one of the things, once you get into this, you think, I'm not having this. I'm just not going to be robbed anymore. And the thief's going to pay. And he's going to pay sevenfold, even though it costs him his whole house. If he steals a pound, I charge him seven. Whatever he touches, it's zero tolerance with the enemy. Have you got me? Because it's faith. Jesus has beaten him. He's absolutely defeated. Jesus is totally victorious, and he gives us the same victory. Are you with me? So you make him pay. Okay, have you got me? So Abraham had plundered the enemy for touching his nephew. It's cool, isn't it? I forgot what I was going to say. And what happened was when Abraham gave, when he came back with the plunder, he gave Melchizedek. Melchizedek came out to meet him with the bread and the wine, which is a covenant meal. And Abraham then gave Melchizedek, a type of Jesus in the Old Testament, a tithe of 10%. Okay? It's in Genesis. Genesis is the book of beginnings. And one of the things we discovered was, if he wants to know how it truly started, go back to the beginning. Because sometimes in the middle, man gets in and mixes it up. With his own ideas, usually it's man who doesn't want to give very much, so they try to make it a minimalist kind of relationship. But you go back to the beginnings, and the book of beginnings shows you how it truly starts. You go back to the source, and then you build out from there. Can you see where I'm coming from? And that's happened, that was in Genesis. So, and it says that Melchizedek, when Abraham gave him the tithe, Melchizedek blessed him. And it says the lesser is blessed by the greater. So here we have the father of faith, if you like, being blessed by Melchizedek, a man without beginning or end, just like Jesus. Okay, can you see the picture? Genesis chapter 28, verse 22, you read about Jacob. He's going on the generations, okay? Jacob has an experience with God, and he says to God, he says, well, if you will bless me, I will give you a 10% of all that you give me. And there's the principle, okay? There's the wording of all that you give me, I will give you 10%. I will give you a tenth of all. Yeah. That's what's happened in the Old Testament. Okay, that's Jacob. I heard somebody preach, and they thought Jacob was a little bit of a character sometimes, and somebody once preached, and they says, Lord, if you'll bless me, there's 10% in it for you. I don't think that's quite the right attitude, but that's what I heard somebody preach once. But it's got to be a love relationship with Jesus, not, Lord, if you bless me, there's 10% in it for you. Okay, it's a love relationship with Jesus. Go on to the New Testament, Matthew 23, verse 23. People say Jesus never taught tithing. I personally think he just expected it. Okay, and in Matthew 23, verse 23, and that was just my thoughts, you read that Jesus is having a problem with the religious. Nothing's changed, has it? He's having a problem with the religious. You have to throw a few things out now and again, don't you? And what's happened is they're trying to catch him in his words. They were trying to trick him. And the religious people just do exactly the same thing today. They try to trick you and catch you in their words. And they were doing that to Jesus. And Jesus is rebuking the religious. And he says to them, you're so religious in your tithing of even the tenth of the tiniest seeds. And yet you neglect the weightier matters of love and grace. He says you should have done the latter without neglecting the former. Okay? So Jesus, right there, he commends tithing. Doesn't he? If you should have done the latter without neglecting the former. Jesus himself commends tithing. And then Hebrews chapter 7, verse 8. Okay, we're going through the Old and the New Testament to see it's in the Old Testament. Jesus commends it in the life of Jesus, and you see it later on in the church. Jesus, again, in Hebrews 7, verse 8, is now being talked about in the order of Melchizedek. I'm doing it quick, so I'm going to come back to Malachi. Okay, and now what it's saying is, there he received tithes from Abraham, Melchizedek, but now he receives our tithes. And what I believe is that when we tithe, we're giving it to Jesus first. We're giving it to Jesus. Are you with me? We're giving it to Jesus. So it's about much more than money. Now the tithe then, according to the scriptures, this is not my own ideas, this is the scriptures, is 10% of what comes in. That's the tithe. Okay, you see it right the way through, starting in the back in the book of beginnings. And that's obedience. Okay, it's obedience, but it's got nothing to do with generosity yet. It's got nothing to do with gratitude yet. We're in obedience. Are you with me? Because don't forget, we're after a supernatural flow. Okay? So, the tithe is 10% of what comes in. And Jacob said it, of all you give me, I will give you the tenth. I will give you a tithe of 10%. And what it is really is God provides the 100%. That's part of our covenant relationship with him. We then, in our relationship with him, give him the 10% for the blessing of the church and the advance of the kingdom. But I don't know how he does it, but somehow or another he blesses the 90% so much it's like having 120% in the beginning or something like that. You can't lose. Basically, and what it is, it's a win-win situation with God. But what it does, when the tithes are consistent, it starts to release supernatural blessing. Okay? Supernatural blessing. Now then, let's go back to Malachi. And we'll break it down a little bit. Verse 7. God is speaking to his people. And he says to them, return to me, and I will return to you. And then they ask God a question. Well, how do we need to return to you? How shall we return to you? And the answer he gives them in verse 8, it talks about robbing God. And how have we do we return to you? And he says, in tithes and offerings. So what was happening there was, from God's perspective, when the people of God weren't tithing, from his perspective, they were away from him. Because, let's be practical, you can't return if you're not away. Because God is saying all the time, return to me, return to me. Well, he can't return if you're not away. And God's heart is for his people to be close. And so it says, return to me and I will return to you. And they ask, how shall we return? And God says, you return by giving me my the tithes and the offerings, which is the Lord's portion. Okay, that's his portion. Now, what happens is, to be away or separated from God is to be out of close relationship. Does that sound fair enough? It's out of close relationship. And when you're out of close relationship with God, you're not really in close contact to the source of blessing. And God's heart is for his people to be close. And he wants his people to be in close relationship with him so that they're constantly in that place of supernatural blessing. And he was saying, here, look, you're out of the place of blessing because you're robbing me of tithes and offerings. I want you to return to me by giving me the tithes and offerings. But his heart, it wasn't being judgmental or critical. God's heart is a father and he wants them close. And he wants them blessed. Okay? He wants them blessed. So he says, you need to return to me. And then in verse 8 also, it talks about robbing God. And he said to these people, you're robbing me. And they say, how have we robbed you? And he says, in tithes on offerings. Basically, it sounds like they weren't giving him the tenth of what he gave to them. Does that sound fair enough? He weren't giving him the tenth. And they said, he says, you're robbing me of my tithes and offerings. Now, if you think about it, you can't steal what's yours. Can you? So God blesses me, shall we say, with the 100% he gives to me. But because once you know the word and in relationship with God, and we're in a covenant relationship with God, God covenants to bless me with the 100-fold, but that 10% in that relationship is his. Now, I can't steal what's mine. I can only steal what's his. So that scripture alone says to us, well, that 10% is not mine to mess about with. That's God's money. That's God's portion. He's blessed me, and in my relationship with him and in obedience, I want to give him what's his, but I can't steal what's mine. I can only steal what's his. So it's common sense, really, isn't it? That's why he was saying, you're stealing what's mine. I'm blessing you, but you're stealing what's mine. Okay? And he says, you need to return to me because you're stealing what's mine. Now, the Bible says, there's a verse of scripture, what you sow, you reap. Do you know that one? I'm sure you do. Okay, and it works with everything. It's a spiritual and a natural law. It works with everything. So if you sow carrot seeds, you're going to get carrots. If you sow cauliflower seeds, you're going to get cauliflower. If you sow money seeds, you're going to get money. Like if you sow carrot seeds, you're not going to expect cauliflowers to come from carrot seeds, are you? If you sow money, what are you going to expect? It's expectancy again, because it's the spiritual and a natural law. Once you sow that seed, you expect that seed to produce a harvest from that seed. Are you with me? That's the positive side, but it works on the negative side, the flip side of the coin as well. It works on the negative side. Because when a person sows robbery, what are you going to reap? You can reap being robbed. Now, God doesn't like his people being robbed. He really doesn't like it. He wants his people blessed. Okay? So what you learn is, okay, well, when my tithes and offerings, when I give my tithes and offerings, I'm giving my, the Lord his portion. I'm being obedient to God. But when I'm giving him my tithe, I'm keeping the door shut on the thief. Because he can't come and rob me because I'm not sowing robbery. I'm sowing obedience. Are you with me? So when you sow obedience, you've got a load of blessings there to start off with. Read Deuteronomy 28. The blessings are for obedience. Okay, because very often, a lot of these blessings in the scriptures, because it's a relationship with God and every relationship's two-way, there's conditions. Isn't it not true? You don't just sit there and let it happen. It doesn't happen. Okay, there are conditions. So God said in Deuteronomy 28, if you will obey me, I will bless you, and these are the blessings you can expect. Do you see what I'm trying to say? So when you give your tithes, we're sowing obedience, and it brings us in line for the blessings of obedience. Would you agree? From the scriptures. But if we sow robbery, we're going to reap being robbed. And I've seen this loads of time. People, no matter what they do, they seem to get going. They seem to try and get started. Then something happens and it's stolen. And what you have to do is learn how to shut the door on the thief. Are you with me? It's so simple, but it's dynamic in its simplicity, really. You learn to shut the door on the thief. So consistency with tithes and offerings is a consistent sowing of obedience, which brings a consistent blessing of the blessings of obedience. So your basket and your store's going to get blessed, like last night. Isn't that not true? But also, it keeps the door shut on the thief. Do you see? See where I'm coming from? Okay, verse 9, it says, also, because they were robbing God, they became cursed with a curse. Now, we don't have to get frightened of curses, because Jesus redeems us from every curse. The blood of Jesus is more powerful than every curse, and every curse can be broken. But what happens, we've discovered, is that when the people know the truth, and they know what they need to do, they've got a revelation of it, they know what to do, and then they willfully, I'm still going to rob God. It starts to bring negative things over their lives. And I'm not going to talk about curses too much today, but one of the symptoms of a curse is frustration. If you look at it and study it, it's frustration. It's like a person may try to get a business going, but instead of it being a kingdom business where, you know, it's run on kingdom principles of honesty and integrity and all that kind of stuff. And we teach our church honesty and integrity with timekeeping. So I say, well, if you're in business and you say to a customer, as part of our kingdom business teaching, I'll be there at 10:30. And you arrive at 11 o'clock, you're a liar. Is that not true? So you've not really built trust into the customer right at the very beginning. We need to honour what we say. And if we couldn't make it at 10:30, we needed to say, well, I'm going to be there at 11. Do you see what I'm trying to say? And very often people, they try to get things going, and this frustration. Doesn't seem to work, there's just a frustration there. But you know when people put their tithes and offerings, bring them into consistency, then we can stand and see the frustration broken. So that blessing can flow. And there's nothing worse. I've seen it so many times. There's nothing worse. People say, I'm doing everything right. I feel like I'm doing everything right. I'm doing my business. I'm doing my books. But they're not giving God their tithes. And this frustration comes. And once they get the consistency in place, you can pray, you can break the frustration in the name of Jesus, and the blessing can flow. Does that make sense? God doesn't want his people frustrated. He wants them satisfied. Amen. Satisfaction is part of our relationship with Jesus. Do you see where I'm coming from? So again, there's a blessing. Tithing consistently, it keeps us free from frustration. A lot of the problems in the world is frustration. God's people are meant to be above and beyond all that. Totally, absolutely satisfied. In everything. In everything, okay? Verse 10. And then God says to them, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. The tithe is the 10% of what comes in. Does that sound fair enough? That's the scriptures. The storehouse for today is the local church. It's your local church here. The storehouse is the place where you get fed. It's the place where you come, like this morning, God's released healing. Yeah? It's the place where you get fed. That's the storehouse. It's where we come to receive the word, where we come to receive blessing, where we come to receive anointing. That's the place where, that's the storehouse. And God says, bring all the tithe. He puts lovely little words in, doesn't he? All the tithe. That means we can't send 10% here, 10% there, 20% here, 50% there, and just 20% into the church because I want to control it. And I want to send it where I want to send it. No, God says, just bring it all into the storehouse. And then the responsibility is on the leadership. We give in faith, then they're responsible for making sure it works for God properly. Do you see what I'm trying to say? But God says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. You see, the primary way of God providing for his church is to supernaturally bless the body, the local body, so that then they have more than enough. They consistently give God their tithes, their offerings. They sow when the Holy Spirit says, out of blessing, not sort of scraping the barrel. Because like I said last night, God never bleeds his people dry to finance his projects. He blesses his people abundantly so they can be part of his projects through tithes and offerings. It's how God does it. It's who God is. But the whole tithe comes into the storehouse. And that's the local church. And his primary way, this place is going to be blessed and a place of excellence through you. Do you see what I'm trying to say? It's through you. That's how God wants to do it. So basically, the simple practical thing is the 10% is for here. And I can't find any scripture that says, share it out where you like. I was asked to go to a leadership meeting in a church once to sit on with some leaders. They're having huge financial problems. Don't know how I got there. I was asked to go and I ended up there. And I thought everybody tied like me. I didn't know anybody did it different. I just hadn't got a clue. And they were having, this particular church had money problems forever. Never not had money problems. And the leaders were talking and I think it was me that asked the question. God sort of asks you to ask an innocent question and he drops you right in the deep end because you've asked the question that nobody else wants to ask. And I says, well, how do you all tithe then? I says, because I stick everything out, everything, the whole 10% just comes here. And one leader says, oh, well, I give 50% here. But I like to send measures all over the place to different places. I said, oh. And then another one of the team says, oh, well, I give 70%, I think, 70% of my finances here. I said, but I like to keep hold of 30%. I like to send it all sorts of different places. And the pastor said, oh, well, I get my wages, I give 90% here. And then I like to just keep hold of 10% and send it where I like. And I said, well, no wonder you're poor. Because you've got to say it as you see it. There's no point being all polite and skimmy. You've got to be straight down the line. Say, well, no, you poor. That's not scripture. That it can't flow. Can't flow. And when we pioneered our church, I said, I don't want anybody on the team who doesn't tithe. I told them all. I said, I've seen it. I've seen the negative. And I've been to nothing. And I don't want to go there again. I just don't want to go again. And I said, if you're happy to come the way God's showing us in the word, that's fine. You can flow with us. But if you don't, just be honest. Say, no, I don't want to live like that. And I'll say, that's fine. Bless you. I love you. But you can't be on the same team. Because there's got to be unity in the team. You with me? But it goes on to the body. There's got to be unity in the body. Now, I believe when the body unites in consistent tithe and offerings, and it's got to be a body unity, wow, the blessings can really flow. And I'm going to share some of them with you. You're already seeing some, but I want to share them with you through the scriptures. The blessing can flow, but it's a unity of consistent tithes and offerings according to the scriptures. Not man's ideas, but according to the scriptures. And it works. I don't know how it works. That's God's business, but it works. That's the most important thing. So the 10%'s for here. Now then, one of the things we do when new Christians come to the church, obviously this is going to sound a bit weird. I thought this was going to happen. Go to church, we want money next. They do, don't they? People think like that. You know, the amount of times I've been accused of being a cult and trying to get money out of everybody is absolutely, there we go again, same old chestnut. And I say, no, I don't give it. I said, until you've got the faith, I don't want it anyway. So I want you to have the faith. I want you to know what it's all about. I want you to build relationship with Jesus. And we say to people, look, you need the faith first. Because in the end, to be absolutely honest, from what I can see anyway, personally, more than the money, God wants the faith. It's true, he wants the faith. Even more than the money, he wants the faith. If anybody comes and they're in debt, I say to them, look, don't go into more debt and trying to tithe like everybody else. Let's get your finances sorted out. Let's sit down together so that we can start to find out what you want to give. The most important thing is to have a heart to give. And I say to the people when they come and say, look, you know, they say, I want to be a part of it like everybody else. He says, but I'm in so much debt, I can't sort it out. I said, have you got the heart to give to Jesus? He said, I want to give to Jesus. I appreciate my salvation. That's what I want to hear. Are you with me? And when you've got that, you think, this can be sorted. No problem. And what we do is to say, like, what do you believe you can give? What are you comfortable to give at this moment? And whatever it is, we say, well, let's start there. That's where your faith is. Let's get the debt down. And as the debt goes down, the giving goes up and the blessing starts to flow. But what we don't want is people putting under pressure with tithes and offerings. We want people to have faith in tithes and offerings so the blessing can flow. We had a young girl come to our church and she was in all sorts of debt. She was a single mum and God's got a special heart for single mums. I tell you, he's got a real special heart for single mums. Religious people might judge, God's got a heart. Are you with me? And I've got a heart. God blesses them. And I love to dedicate children. I love it. Okay, anyway, this lady came and she heard from somebody somewhere. I don't know where she'd heard it. I just remembered, but not in our church, thank goodness. And this person has said, the more you give, the more you get. And so she was putting £200 a month in the offering. I don't check the offerings. But when she came, I said, well, what? I sit down and get people's money worked out systematically and we put the Lord's portion in the outgoings. Are you with me? That's how we do it. So that it's part of a systematic lifestyle. You see, it's got to be a systematic lifestyle. So we don't rob God and spend his money. Because you can't rob what's not yours. Okay? And so this girl says, I said, well, what are you giving £200 a month for? Well, I want to do it right. I said, yeah, but you can't afford it. So we worked the money out. And I said, what can you really afford? What do you really want? She wanted to do it. I said, she says, well, I think I can believe for £10 a month. I says, well, let's knock your tithe down from £200 to £10 a month. And she says, not many pastors do that, do they? And we went down £10 a month. And it took a year or so, but she did it systematically. And she got out of debt. She started her own business. And in a couple of years, she was back up to £200 a month tithe again, out of the blessing that God gave her. Amen. Can you see what I'm trying to say? But she wasn't put under pressure. Because you can't have pressure. The world's got enough money pressures. Look, read the paper. They're with me. Everybody's worrying about money. God isn't. He's worrying. You with me? And that's the dynamic he wants us to live in. He wants us to live. We've got some businesses in Wales and the forecast is all businesses are going to suffer. My brother-in-law's got a hotel. He had the best year last year in the recession than he's ever had. And he gives and he tithes and he sows and he gives into the storehouse. It works. And it works every time. You can't figure out how it works, but it works. Okay. So this girl, she just broke through. But we don't want pressure. You see what I'm trying to say? You see, it's faith. It's not fear. We don't give out of fear. If fear's there, it's better to see a leader, see a pastor, get rid of the fear so that we can give in love. Or we can give in faith. Do you see what I mean? Now then, let's get to the other parts. Now, proper tithing, systematic tithing, brings some phenomenal promises. And they are supernatural promises. The first thing God says is bring all the tithe into the storehouse. The whole 10% for here, this is the storehouse. But he wants us to expect, the promises. Are you with me? Because you've got to expect them. And you've got to give with faith. And I once the offering's gone, I'm looking for the promise. I start looking. I'm thinking, well, I'm going to keep my expectancy high. Okay, and I encourage the church, keep your expectancy high. Okay? And he says, putting all the tithes into the storehouse, that there will be food in my house. What's the house? Well, it's not this building. You're the house. It's people. The house is people. We are the house. This is the place where we meet, but you are the body. You are the house. Can you see what I mean? So God is saying, bring all the tithes in the storehouse so that there's food amongst my people. Can I paraphrase it like that so you understand it better? Now, what does it mean by food? Well, food is both natural and spiritual. You know, the scripture, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So it's talking about natural bread. And bread is a staple. It's part of a staple diet. It's not a treat. It's just everyday staple. Are you with me? So God is saying, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there's food in my house. Natural food and spiritual food. So let's touch the natural for a minute. Everybody blessed, everybody prospering, no problems whatsoever financially, you're building up with the Lord. Okay, that's, and then your food in the house, natural provision, okay? But there's spiritual food, okay? And what God wants us to realize is there's spiritual food to come into the house just through tithes and offerings. Listen, when the Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus to the deliverance of her little girl from demons, Jesus said, is it right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs? I mean, he wasn't being derogatory, but I haven't got time to go there today. What he was saying was, healing is the children's bread. Healing is the children's, and we, it's us, we're the house. That's our staple diet. It's not even a treat. And God likes to give treats, so wow, what's the treats going to be like? Are you with me? Expectancy. Okay, so he says, when there's tithing, and it's consistently, there's healing in the house. Have you got me? There's healing in the house. Okay? But also, food is from the Word of God. It's revelation from the, we need to live in revelation. Not just knowledge, but revelation. But when this tithes and offerings, what with this food in the house, there's got to be revelation in the house. If man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, there's got to be revelation in the house. That's triggered off by tithing. Isn't that awesome? That's before we pray. And it's before we've sung a worship song. It's all triggered off by tithing. Tithing's suddenly sounding quite cool, isn't it? There's healing in the house. There's food in the house. There's revelation in the house. But one of the things that God does is that he wants us to be a people that discern the times that we live in. Is that not true? And he gives us a now word. One of the things the Holy Spirit does, he wants to keep us as his church, as his people, ahead of the game. And was it 10 or 12 years ago, the Lord spoke to us, he told us, there's going to be a big financial crash, and he told us to teach finances to the church at the beginning. And I had to lean not on my own understanding, because I said, God, I want to go out and do evangelism. He says, I want you to teach money. I want you to teach prosperity. I want you to teach kingdom businesses. And we had to, in the end, we submitted and we did what God told us to do. We got criticized like nobody's business by churches and all sorts of things. Oh, you should be getting your church out. You should be doing this. And I wanted to go. But God says, build this in first. Build it in first. We had 80% roughly of the church who weren't in work and never really had a steady job. And now we have just about 100% in both Liverpool and Wales in jobs. And I think there's one, Hazel. And it was amazing what God did. But he said, there's a crash coming, and I want you to be ahead of the game. And we haven't dipped. We just haven't dipped. I haven't taken a pay cut as a pastor. In fact, I had a pay increase. One day the team came to me, because the trust, you know, when you go to a trustees meeting and it's a time for the pastor's increase, you get an annual increase, at least you should anyway, you get an annual increase, and then you have to leave the room, because that's the law, you go out while they decide what you're going to get, then you come back and they tell you what you're going to get, and I said, well, I'm happy for that, I'm the pastor, but I don't want to have anything to do with the money, I'm not even allowed to sign the checks, because I wanted it to be safe, I wanted it to be, you know, have integrity, and the guy that's the treasurer, He's a man of faith. He's a young lad. He's been with us from the beginning. And he's the treasurer. And he says to me, he says, Terry says, I've been praying. And we believe that God's told us to give you and Hazel a big pay rise. And I says, well, what kind of money are you talking about? And it was good. And I thought, oh, this is good. But can we afford it? Natural mind. But then I felt to say, have you got faith for that decision? And he says, yes. He said, yes. I says, and then I went back in, they offered it us. I could have refused it, but the Lord kept saying to me, go for it. He says, because I want to stretch the body. I want to stretch the church, try and compass a bigger thing. And so I said to the trustees, have you got faith for it? I says, because I don't want it if you haven't got faith. If this is just you, I don't want it. And they said, we believe it. And you know what they said to me? They said, the Lord's spoken to us. And he said, if we can't look after you, how on earth can I give you a lot more people as a church to look after? That's the word the Lord gave to the trustees. And they said, we want to look after you because we want God to bless us with people. And so the Lord says, take it. Now, what happened was, when that happened, I had to get my head round it. But God had already taught us, lean not on your own understanding. But I don't know how it happened. We didn't get a big increase of people straight away. But the money shot up. And it more than covered the increase. And I still don't know how it happened. All I know is that God took their faith. I didn't even ask for it. God took their faith. I had to get through my struggle, because in the end, as a pastor, you want the church to get everything, because you want the church to go. But God, they said to me, if we can't look after you, we can't really believe God to send us loads of people to look after for Jesus. So we accepted it, and the money shot up. It was amazing. We hit just before that, I wasn't going to say this, but I will. We hit a brick wall before this particular event. And what happened was we were flowing in, the flying atmosphere was breaking, and suddenly it seemed like we'd hit a brick wall. And it's like, I said, Lord, what's happened? And I sat down with him and said, what's happened? And he said to me, he says, what's happening is, he said, it's all flowing on your faith. He says, and I've got your attention. I've got your attention. That's why it stopped. He says, and I want you to talk to the team first that they need to unite in faith for the finances of the church. See, because it's exciting praying for the sick. It's exciting praying for breakthrough. It's exciting going out praying for souls to be saved. But we also need to pray for the finances. And the team needs to unite in faith to pray for the finances. But then God says, now teach it to the church. The church has to unite to believe for finances as well. And I can honestly say we hit a brick wall. And the team that night, they all stood up. They acknowledged. I said, are you praying for the finances? Oh, no, we've left it to you. They were honest. They were very good. They were honest. And they all stood up of their own and repented before it said, Lord, we repent of not taking up our responsibility to pray for the finances of the church. And the same week, it went up again. It was just God getting the attention. Are you with me? It's a responsibility, not just for leaders and pastors, it's a responsibility for everybody to believe God. You see, it's not all about money. It's about winning souls for Jesus. It's about advancing the kingdom of God. But the finances are necessary to keep it going. Because without the finances, it all stalls. We're not of this world, but we live in it. Can you see where I'm coming from? It's important, okay? Am I okay? Okay. So it brings food in the house, okay? And then God says, he will open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing for you that you won't have room enough to contain it. He makes it personal. When you bring the tithes into the storehouse, it opens the windows. And the key is, keep the windows open. So simple. So many people shut the window. And then they wonder what's gone wrong. And nothing's gone wrong, you just shut the window. Keep the window open and let the blessings flow. Once you realize you've got the tithes and offerings keeps the window open, you get just buy a bigger bucket. You really do. It's amazing. Okay, you don't lose out. You win-win all the time. But you've got to keep, God says, I'll open the windows of heaven to pour out enough blessing for you that you won't be able to contain it. Now we're moving into supernatural overflowing. Are you with me? All through tithes and offerings. Verse 11, God says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. So, but I always picture it, the devil comes to my door to try and do some, you know, be a nuisance, and God says, get out of here, this man's a tither. I like that thought. He rebukes the devourer for our sakes. It's like, leave the tithers alone. Leave them alone. Okay? Says, the fruit will not fail. That means your harvest is going to get gathered in. Whatever that harvest is, it's going to get gathered in. It won't fail. God says, I'm going to look after your harvest, your personal harvest, your corporate harvest. I'm going to look after it, and it's not going to fail. And then in verse 11 it says, says the Lord of hosts. Read the scriptures. It says, these are the promises, says the Lord of hosts. What's happening is God is saying, this is what I'm declaring over the tithers. This is what I'm proclaiming over the tithers. It's a proclamation from God's mouth himself. What can the devil do about that? Absolutely nothing. It says, says the Lord of hosts. Okay. Verse 12. You will be a delightful land. This is the church. What does that mean? It means it's going to be a good place to be. Let's keep it simple. This place, with the consistency of tithers, it's going to be a good place to be. People are going to want to be here. They're not going to know what it is straight away, but they're going to want to be here. All from tithing. We haven't prayed yet. We haven't worshipped yet. We haven't taken any authority yet. We've just taken the offering. Think about it. See, everything with God is so powerful. And sometimes we put things in a small place without realizing how, even though it seems like a small thing, how great it can be. Are you with me? It's massive. It's massive. And then in verse 12 it says, all the nations will call you blessed. You're not just going to be a good place to be. All the nations are going to call you blessed. What does that mean? You're going to get noticed. It's going to get noised abroad. Oh, God's in the house. There's food in the house. It gets noised abroad. God does your advertising for you. Are you with me? God loves to advertise a good church and a blessed church. He loves to advertise. God does your advertising for you. And it's all because we are faithful and consistent in tithes and offerings. I don't think that's rather good. Suddenly, the offering's an exciting part of the meeting. Not tagged on at the end, it's an exciting part of the meeting. All because of tithes and offerings. Now, Pastor Judith said I can do this part. I believe in asking the pastor. See, the Bible says, if anybody tries to get amongst the sheep without going through the door, they're a thief and a robber. Doesn't it? The true pastors lay their life down in the doorway. Because they love the body. Anybody that tries to get over the wall to minister to the sheep without going through the gateway becomes a thief and a robber no matter what they've got. Are you with me? It's true. Okay, and I learned that a long time ago. I've seen it done negatively, and I'm totally one in honouring the pastors and coming under authority. I'm under their authority while I'm here. And if I've got their authority, I'll do it. And if I haven't, I'll sit down. Because I don't want to be a thief and a robber. Do you see where I'm coming from? But Pastor Judith gave me permission to do this. And what I believe God wants us to do, if you're all willing, is in a moment we're going to stand. Okay, because God's going to release something. He's already started last night. But because what we want now is the full breakthrough, the full flow. Okay, that's what we're going to go for. And what we're going to do first is I want us to stand and repent for any time up until this time where we've robbed God. Now, you may never have done, or you may have. I don't believe in embarrassing people and showing people up. I don't want a show of hands. I don't want people to stand up and say, well, I've robbed God and forgive. I want us all to stand together so that nobody's embarrassed. But, you know, sometimes we have to repent, and that means change mind. Having heard the word, if you're willing to change your mind, then repent before God. And that gives you a clean sheet. That means everything's finished. Okay? Does that make sense? And we're going to do that first. And then what I want to do then is I want you to declare after me and start to declare the release of the anointing to prosper. Okay, I believe God wants to release the anointing to prosper. And also together to break any curses of frustration. And release the blessing of satisfaction over the whole of the body, in businesses, in homes, in finances. Does that sound okay to you? Okay, but we're going to do it together. Then I want us to take up our offering. Okay, and I've been told I can do the offering. Now, in our church, what we do is I get everybody to hold their offering up in their hand. Okay? And we make a declaration. We declare the fullness of the blessings of tithings. And what I do, hold it in your hand. We're going to hold it high. We're going to declare it. Then the offering's going to be taken. Are you with me? And we'll do that together. And then there's one more declaration that the Lord's given me. And he wants us to, as a church, to declare the release of the unusual and extraordinary miracles in finances. Because you have to proclaim it. It has to be spoken. We speak it out into the spirit realm, if you like, and it comes back on the body. Okay? Does that sound okay to you? And then I'm going to hand over to Pastor Judith. We're going to have some victory praise, I believe. Okay? Okay, so what I say to our church, if you've already put yours in by standing order, scrounge a pound off somebody else. So give them a nudge. Say, I've given mine. I brought nothing with me this week. It's gone in by standing order. Well, give somebody else. They've got a pound to loan me. We started off with 5p's to make it simple, but the bag was too heavy for everybody. It took ages to count it. So we went up to scrounging a pound. So if you get yourself a pound or 50p will do. The most important thing is that you're part of the blessing and the declaration. Okay, that's what it's all about. We can make it fun. The reason we make it fun is God loves a hilarious giver. There's joy in giving. That's why there's a joy on this conference. Because God, it says God loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful means hilarious. It's like you're laughing your head off as you put your money in. Because it brings joy into your life, you see. When you're a giver, it brings joy. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It brings joy. Have you got me? Have you got your money? You got your pound? Be part. Have you got it? Yeah. Okay, let's... Have we got the servers with the offering? Who takes the offering? I don't know. Who does it here? Are we ready? Yes, the gentleman there. Two gentlemen ready. Okay, let's all stand then, shall we?
Yes.
And we'll keep your money in your hand for now. And then just pray after me then. You know what we're doing, because I've explained it, because you need to do it with faith. Okay? We're going to repent first of all and get a fresh start. So just pray after me. Heavenly Father, we stand before you today right now. In the name of Jesus. And we repent. We change our mind concerning tithes and offerings. And we repent, Lord, of every time that we have robbed you. And we declare today your fresh start. In Jesus' name. Now then, let's all pray together about releasing the anointing to prosper. Pray again. Let's all do it together as a church, shall we? Father, we declare today that your heart and will is to prosper, is to bless, is to give us a hope and a future. And we praise you for it today. And we declare together right now the outpouring of that anointing to prosper. We reach out to you, Lord, by faith this morning. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's just declare the breaking of every curse of frustration. Are you okay with that? So declare after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you today because the blood of Jesus breaks every curse. And we take up our authority this morning in the name of Jesus. And we break the power of every curse of frustration in the name of Jesus. And we declare the release of satisfaction in the name of Jesus. Amen. And let's give the Lord a big clap, shall we, for that one? Now, one more declaration, then we're going to take the offering. Okay, so let's hold up our money. You scrounge your pound or you're putting your own tithes in today. I was laughing nearly before because Hazel snuck up behind me and stuck a £10 note in my hand. She realised I got nothing in my pocket. That wouldn't look very good, would it? Okay. So hold up our offerings. Okay. Declare again. Heavenly Father, we give to you this morning our tithes and offerings. We give it to you, Lord, with joy and with gratitude. Thank you for your provision. And we give to you, Lord, your portion. Multiply it, Lord, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's take up the offering, shall we, and the tithes. Don't miss the preacher. I want my blessing as well. There we are. Okay, just one more declaration as the offering is going round now. I want us to declare, by faith, the release of the unusual and extraordinary miracles in finances. Now, can you expect them more this morning? Because God does unusual things, but it's always to bless. Okay, so let's lift our hands, shall we? And reach out to Jesus. Because we're giving our offerings to Jesus. And when Abraham gave offerings to Melchizedek, he blessed him. And as we give our tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning, I believe he wants to release that blessing of unusual and extraordinary miracles in finances. So let's receive it, shall we? Just declare after me, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the freedom this morning. And the joy in giving to you. And we declare now today the release of the extraordinary and unusual miracles in finances throughout the whole of our church. In Jesus' name. We make a commitment, Lord, to you today that as you bless us, our heart is to be a blessing to others. Thank you for the miracles. And we declare it released. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Judy.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.